I want to share about Christmas. It's been a couple of years since I've shared, and some of you weren't here, some of you were. I was listening to a teaching by a pastor's wife on... She was sharing her life story of being programmed as a child and young adult, and as she was sharing her journey of coming out of all the brainwashing and the programming that was done to her, she started talking about Christmas, and she talked about the pagan roots of Christmas, and she talked about how Satan considers Christmas his most holy day, and how in their church a practicing witch came up to her where her husband was pastoring and told her that it was a couple of weeks before Christmas, and basically told her that she'd been cursed. They had cursed her and her family, and she said to this witch, "Well, you don't have the authority to do that to me." And this woman laughed and said, You're ignorant of the truth. We have every right to do that. And Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, you will be really, really violently ill because we have the right to do that. And she said, "Well, what right do you have?" And she said, "Because you celebrate Christmas, it gives us the right to curse you." And she had no idea what that all meant, so she shared with her husband. And they just kind of shrugged it off. Well, just like this woman had said, a couple of weeks goes by, and Christmas Eve, her whole family got violently ill, every one of them, and were sick for several days. And she and her husband began to research the origins of Christmas. And in doing so, she understood what the witch was saying, how the witch had the legal right to curse them because they were honoring by celebrating a pagan holiday. And so that got my attention. I respect this woman very, very much, and I know the fruit of her life. And but I didn't want to believe what she was saying. I didn't want to believe it. I happened to, at that point, love Christmas and everything about it. And, you know, I just thought in my head, well, I'm celebrating Yeshua's birthday, so that's, it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing, that's what I'm doing. And yet I couldn't make it go away. It wouldn't go away. It just kept bothering me and bothering me and bothering me. Until a few days goes by, I was actually painting my upstairs in my house and all by myself, that whole, you know, for weeks it took me to do it. But in that process, God just kept pushing my button. And so I gave in and I did the research and I began to read history and find out the origin of Christmas. And so in doing so, I discovered that Christmas, it really was true what this witch said. It began because of pagan worshiping other gods, Saturn and Nimrod and a number of them, Zeus. And anyway, I still in my head said, well, that might be what they did, but that's not what I'm doing. And justified it and convinced myself it was all good, and yet it wouldn't go away. And I tried to make it go away, and it wouldn't go away. And a couple of days more goes by, and I remember right where I was at in my house on the ladder painting, and I hear the voice of the Lord, and he says to me, "You cannot make holy something that has its roots in devil worship." I had to get off the ladder, get down on the floor. I was trembling, weeping. And I told the Lord, "I hear you. I won't do that again. Forgive me. Forgive me." Something's created, its origin is based in satanic worship. It can't be redeemed. That's why Satan can't be redeemed. That's why the demons can't be redeemed. And if God creates something and Satan steals it, we can redeem it because it came from God. It originated from God. But if you have something that's created, has its foundation, its roots, its origin in Satan worship, it belongs to Satan. So I was thoroughly 100,000% convinced and convicted and got up off the floor knowing that that's how I was going to live my life. Well, I shared with Danny, and I'd already been talking to him about it because it was troubling me so much for the 2 weeks I'd been wrestling with it. And he wasn't seeing it. He was, you know, he was like I was. You know, God's got to speak to you. So when that happened, I told him, I said, "Honey, you have to press in, and because we can't be divided here. I'm going to come under you, but I'm telling you, I cannot in good conscience ever worship a God, even if it's through ignorance. I can't, and I won't." So he heard my heart, and he began his own research and his own time with the Lord, and he came to me sometime later, and a few days later, and said, "I got it. I'm with you. I agree." So we shared it here and a couple of times, and I found myself, when I was rereading my notes yesterday and then again this afternoon, just really gripped by how often Christians, myself, all of us in America especially, how often we keep things shallow. You know, we don't want to go and look under and look, you know, don't rock the boat. Let's just, it's okay. We like it the way it is. It works for us. And after all, it's all packaged up and wrapped up in shiny lights and beautiful colors and warm fuzzies and family. You know, that was my biggie. What kept me stuck for that initial time was, oh my goodness, how will I ever tell my kids that I can't do that anymore, and my grandkids, and, you know, all of those family things. And yet, when that conviction came, that's all that mattered. So I'm going to present what I learned. Encourage you to take this to the Lord yourself. It's between you and God. It's not between you and me. It's not between you and the farm. It's between you and God. But I do ask you to take it very serious and do your homework. Find out for yourself if what I'm telling you tonight is true or not. Because if what I'm telling you tonight is true, nobody in this room should be celebrating Christmas. Because it is a pagan holiday. Worse than Halloween. And Satan considers Christmas his highest holy day of the year, more than Halloween. They do more sacrificing of humans on Christmas Eve than Halloween. So, let's get going. Christmas is nothing more than the celebration of the birth of the Son God, the false Messiah, the false Savior of the world. The holiday, they offer cakes to the Queen of Heaven. It is a well-known historical fact that December 25th was celebrated for thousands of years before Yeshua was ever born in Bethlehem. It is known in history and recorded in history that December 25th is the birthday of an ancient pagan god, the Sun God, S-U-N. You see the mockery? The Son of God, Satan always copies. He always tries to steal and duplicate. And so he takes this date and puts it down December 25th before Yeshua was ever born and said, this is the birthday of the Sun God. Roman pagans. Pagans are people who worship gods. They're heathens. So the Roman heathens, devil worshipers, first introduced the holiday of Saturnalia in December, and it was a period of general merrymaking and the beginning before Christmas. It was a 1 week long period of lawlessness celebrated between December 17th and December 25th. During this time, the Roman courts were closed, and Roman law dictated that no one could be punished for damaging property or injuring people during that 1 week celebration. The festival began when Roman authorities chose an enemy of the Roman people to represent the Lord of Misrule. Each Roman community selected a victim whom they forced to indulge in food and other sinful physical pleasures throughout the week. At the festival's conclusion on December 25th, the Roman authorities believed they were destroying the forces of darkness by brutally murdering this innocent man or woman. The ancient Greek historian Lucian, he wrote a document called Saturnalia. It describes the festival's observance during his time. This is what he says. In addition to human sacrifices, these customs were prevalent. Widespread intoxication. Boy, I had all that word was gone. Drunkenness. People going from house to house while singing naked, rape, and other sexual freedom. They consumed human-shaped biscuits. And to this day, in some English and almost all German bakeries during Christmas season, they still serve those human-shaped biscuits. In the 4th century, Christianity imported the Saturnalia. Saturnalia is what worshiping Saturn And Saturn was known to be the reincarnation of Nimrod. You guys remember Nimrod after the flood. Nimrod was the ruler that was behind building the Tower of Babel. So they believe that Nimrod, the god, he came back as a god, as Saturn. And it's the worshiping of Nimrod. So Christianity imported, adopted, accepted the Saturnalia festival, which I, all those things I just described, all of those sinful deeds, the Christians in the fourth century brought these things into their church in hopes to draw the pagan, the heathens, in mass into their churches. So in other words, these Christian leaders said, hey, let's just bring the worship of Saturnalia into the church services and clean it up a little bit so that all these heathens will come to church and join us. It was their method of evangelism. That's called compromise, and it's called sin. Christian leaders succeeded in converting to Christianity large numbers of pagans by promising them that they could continue to celebrate the worship of Saturn with all its evil deeds as a Christian. Now we hear that and we go, oh, how terrible, right? How awful. But let me just pull this thing home. So that statement I just said, that back in the 4th century, 400 AD-ish, the church allows all these heathens to come in and become a Christian, promising them that they could keep doing that pagan devil worship by all that sinful stuff, including human sacrifice. And it'll be okay. Now, take just a deep breath and let's just say that what I'm telling you is the truth. And you leave here and hear all this and go, oh, that's true, but that's not what I'm doing. I'm going to keep observing Christmas. That's the same thing. That mentality is the same mentality that they had in the fourth century. Oh, it's okay. We can just let them do that and they can still be a Christian. No, you can't. God's a holy God. The problem with them bringing these heathen, pagan, devil-worshipping people into the church, promising them they could continue December 17th through December the 25th, having a week where there was nothing that was called sin. That's basically what it was. And they wouldn't be arrested for any crime. Murder, all the rapes that were committed, all the going from house to house naked, singing. By the way, that's where we got caroling. Do you know that's where the root of that is? Because in the 4th century, during that week, they'd strip naked and go from house to house, knocking on the door, standing there naked, singing. And then they'd go in and rape the people. And they wouldn't be arrested. It was lawful. There was nothing intrinsically Christian about Saturnalia. It was done to worship the god of Saturn, Nimrod. So what the leaders had to do over time was they had to decide to fix this mess. So they decided to name Saturnalia's last day of celebration, remember it started on December 17th, and it went out with a bang on the 25th, Christmas Day, they decided to name the last day, December 25th, to be Jesus' birthday. That's how it happened. That's how December 25th became known as Yeshua's birthday. That's history. That's not somebody. That's history. It's recorded in history. I hope you don't like what I just said. In doing that, calling December 25th Yeshua's birthday, it was not very successful to refine the sinful practices that the people did on that week of celebrating the god, the sun, Saturn god. The earliest Christmas holidays, when they switched it and said, this is Yeshua's birthday, December 25th, the earliest Christmas holidays we have recorded from that point, they were all celebrated by drinking, sexual indulgence, and singing naked in the streets, even after naming it Jesus' birthday. And because of its known pagan origin, Christmas was banned by the Puritans in Massachusetts in the year 1659. But the masses continued to celebrate Christmas as Yeshua's birthday. Then in 1466... the Catholic Church intentionally revived some of those evil things that were done to worship the Saturn god, the god of, called Saturn. Here's what an eyewitness historical report that saw this, I quote what he said. He or she. Pope Paul II was the Pope. For the amusement of his Roman citizens, the Pope forced Jews to race naked through the streets of the city. Before they were to run, the Jews were richly fed so as to make the race more difficult for them, and at the same time, more amusing for the spectators. The people ran amid Rome's taunting shrieks and peals of laughter, while the Pope stood upon a richly ornamented balcony and laughed heartily. That was Christmas celebration. This continued throughout the 18th and 19th centuries. Rabbis, the 18th and 19th century, the rabbis of the ghetto in Rome were forced to wear clown outfits, and they were marched through the city streets to the jeers of the crowd, pelted by a variety of missiles. When the Jewish community of Rome sent a petition in 1836 to Pope Gregory, begging him to stop the annual Saturnalia abuse of the Jewish community, the Pope responded, "It is not opportune for me to make any innovation." On December 25th, 1881, Christian leaders stirred up and whipped the Polish masses into an anti-Semitic frenzy that led to riots across the country. As a result, in Warsaw, 12 Jews were brutally murdered on Christmas Day. Huge numbers were maimed, and many, many Jewish women were raped. 2 million rubles worth of property was destroyed. And it was legal. The origin of the Christmas tree. Worshippers of the Asherah, A-S-H-E-I-R-A, however you pronounce it, Asherah cult, and its offshoots were recruited by the church sanctioning Christmas trees. Pagans had long worshipped trees in the forest and brought them into their homes and decorated them. And this observance was adopted and painted with a Christian veneer by the church. So the church saw these methods of worshiping demons and gods by the pagans and adopted that and brought it into the church. Now, what they're talking about here is the Christmas tree. I want to read this verse to you that I find, whether you celebrate Christmas or not, this verse right here, it, in my opinion, is God speaking about the Christmas tree. Jeremiah is a prophet. He's speaking of the future, and this whole context in Jeremiah chapter 10 is all about worshiping another god. That's the context, idolatry. This is verse 2 of chapter 10 says, "Thus says the Lord, do not learn the way of the nations." So he's warning the Jews, do not do what the Gentiles do. That word nations is Gentiles, the pagans, the heathens. Do not learn the way, their ways. And do not be terrified by the signs of the heavens, although the nations are terrified by them. For the customs of the peoples are delusion, because it is wood cut from the forest. It is a tree cut from the forest. The work of the hands of a craftsman with a cutting tool. They decorate the tree with silver and with gold, and they fasten it with nails and with hammers so that it will not fall over. That is devil worship. Decorating a tree, you cut it down in the forest, you put silver and gold on it, prop it up so it won't fall over in your house. And God's saying, do not learn the way of the nations, the ungodly. Don't do it. And if we do it, we leave ourselves open to legal rights for Satan to curse us, to kill, steal, and destroy. This was how one of the ways they worship the god Saturn, Nimrod, was by cutting a tree down, putting gold and silver on it, and putting it in their house, and they worshiped it. The earliest Christmas holidays were celebrated by drinking, by sexual indulgence, and singing naked in the streets. I'm going to just keep reminding us. That is devil worship. It is. And they don't try to hide it. So, mistletoe. If you've ever, I don't know if it's so much popular anymore with the younger people, but when I was growing up, kissing under the mistletoe was a big deal. I remember Danny's parents would always have mistletoe over the door, and whoever walked under it with whomever, you had to kiss them. It was disgustingly wrong. unless it was your husband. I just made sure I didn't go anywhere without Danny. Because there was like 50 people in their home during Christmas or more. They just had a huge family. So I remember getting stuck under there with somebody one time. It was not a pretty thing because I wouldn't do it. Mm-mm. Anyway, now that I know what I know, ugh. So the origin of mistletoe. Druid rituals, the Druids worshipped gods. Druid rituals use mistletoe to poison their human sacrificial victims. The Christian custom of kissing under the mistletoe is a later adaptation of the sexual license of Saturn worship with the Druid sacrificial cult. There's a book, if you're interested in reading more, there's a book called The Two Babylons. I've forgotten the author's name. It'll come to me in a minute. Anyway, he talks a lot about Christmas and the origins of Christmas in his book, and Babylon and Nimrod. And so if you're more interested in learning more, feel free. So, the thing that I found really tragic in all of the different places I researched, and I didn't just go to one source, by the way. I didn't trust it. I mean, I wrote in Origins of Christmas, and every one of those that popped up, I went and read. And they're all saying the same thing. All different sources. Even the Jewish source describes it, and on and on and on. But one of the things that became really obvious was how this worship of Satan called Christmas began to target the Jews. And over and over and over, it became a day, a week, December 17th through December 25th, where it was legal to kill, rape, steal, mock Jews. And in that celebration, that 7-day celebration, that day, December 25th, has in history and still is a day on which Jews have been shamed, tortured, and murdered. Many, myself included, would prefer not having to learn and know this. It sure complicated my life when I found this out, because then I had to do something about it because I'm responsible. Once you hear the truth and know the truth, you're responsible to do something about it. And my encouragement to all of you is, go do something about it and see if I'm not telling you the truth. Find out for yourself. If people don't know the history, which I didn't, I had no idea. I'd never heard of it, ever. But if Christians especially don't know the history, then I can, you know, you're totally innocent. But ignorance is not an excuse in God's kingdom. And so, most often the objection, even in learning this, is, well, that's not what I'm doing. Remember, that's my first response to it. Well, I'm not doing that. I'm worshiping Yeshua. I've replaced all that history with, I'm going to make it about Yeshua. And I didn't stop and think about how much money I spent on all the stuff that goes with it, or was I really worshiping Yeshua or not? I just didn't, it was just kind of a custom. It was a tradition. It was something I really, really enjoyed and liked, and it felt good, and I loved family and the whole everything. So it's easy for us to say, well, that's not what I'm doing. And I can tell you right now, that's what will that is what will come up for you, because it's a real good argument. I read this when I was doing the study on this, researching. This author said, he said, imagine that between 1933 and 1945, the Nazi regime celebrated Adolf Hitler's birthday as a holiday. His birthday was April 20th. So I want you to imagine that they made it a national holiday, April 20th, Nazi Day, or Hitler Day, celebrate Hitler's birthday. And the tradition was that you celebrated Hitler Day with feasting, drinking, getting drunk if you wanted to, gift giving, and other pagan practices. Imagine that on April 20th, in honor of Hitler, Jews were historically subject to perverse tortures, rape, abuse, and even murder. And that continued for centuries. Because, beloved, that's the truth of Christmas. That's what happened to the Jews. But let's just get back to Hitler. So that April 20th, 1933, they said, we're going to celebrate as a country Hitler Day. And you can eat and drink and be merry, and nobody will get in trouble, and give gifts and any other pagan practice you want to do. Now imagine, that was 1933 to 1945. Today's 2021. So let's just imagine now that tradition, Hitler Day, is passed down and passed down and passed down through your family and the community and the town, and it's passed down, and your great-great-great-grandchildren are about to celebrate Hitler Day. It's April 20th. They haven't been taught about how many Jews were murdered by the hands of Hitler. They haven't known that Hitler Day is connected to the concentration camps. They'd never heard of the gas chambers or the death marches. And your great-great-great-grandchildren are all gathered in the house with all the family. And they've made a big meal and a cake, and they're ready to celebrate Hitler Day. And then somebody in the room reminds them of who Adolf Hitler really was and what he did, and the real history behind Hitler Day, and how many people suffered because of it. Imagine that these great-great-great-grandchildren say, but we aren't celebrating the Holocaust. We're just having a little Hitler Day party. If you could be there at your great-great-great-grandchildren's house today, and if you could say a few words to them, what would you advise them to do? Would you tell them, oh, ignore who Adolf Hitler was? Go ahead and celebrate. Go ahead and party. It's a good day. There's nothing wrong with celebrating Adolf Hitler. Would you tell them that? Or would you tell them, don't do it? Adolf Hitler was a monster. Don't have any part of it. I think that's a legitimate question. I'm going to read from the book, The Two Babylons, just a little bit for you. And then we'll end. The author's name is Alexander Hislop, H-I-S-L-O-P, if you want to know the author. He says, indeed, it is admitted by the most learned and candid writers that the day of our Lord's birth cannot be determined, and that within the Christian church, no such festival as Christmas was ever heard of until the 3rd century, and that not until the 4th century was far advanced did it gain observance. How then did the Roman church fix December 25th as Christmas Day? Why did they? Long before the 4th century, and long before the Christian era itself, a festival was celebrated among the heathen at that exact time of the year, December 17th through December 25th, in honor of the birth of the son of the Babylonian Queen of Heaven. And it may fairly be presumed that, in order to conciliate the heathen and to swell the number of the nominal adherents of Christianity, the same festival was adopted by the Roman Church, giving it only the name of Christ. This tendency on the part of Christians to meet paganism halfway was very early developed. Upright, godly men tried to stem the tide, but in spite of all their efforts, the apostasy went on until the church, with the exception of a very small remnant, was submerged under pagan superstition to observe Christmas. Christmas was originally, in its origin, a pagan festival. That is beyond all doubt. The time of the year and the ceremonies with which it is still celebrated prove its origin. In Egypt, the son of Isis, the Egyptian title for the Queen of Heaven, was born at this very time. December 25th was observed far and wide among the ancient world. This day was the birthday of the unconquered sun, S-U-N. The Yule log represented the dead stock of the slain Nimrod, the arch apostate rebel against the Lord after the flood. See Genesis 10, 8 through 10. And the Christmas tree was believed to be Nimrod reborn. The slain god Nimrod had come to life again. The largest pagan religious cult which fostered sun worship in the Greek and Roman worlds on December 25th was the cult called Mithraism. They called it the Nativity of the Sun, S-U-N. Mithras, the sun god, was supposed to have been born on December 25th, but also Osiris, Horus, Tammuz, Hercules, Bacchus, Adonis, Jupiter, all the pagan messiahs, the little g gods. This fact alone would seem to indicate that all these pagan sun gods and deities trace their roots back to the original sun god of ancient Babylon called Nimrod. In Rome, this sun god worship became known as Saturnalia, in honor of the god Saturn. Saturn means hidden one. Saturn was another name for Nimrod. Clearly, the pagan customs of Christmas had nothing remotely to do with the Messiah or the word of Yahweh, the scriptures. Clearly, they had nothing to offer to the church, as they were the very antithesis of true Christianity. Yet somehow this ancient pagan festival wormed its way into the established Christian church and became its most prominent holiday of the year. What a monstrous mystery. This is how an ancient pagan custom became engrafted upon the unsuspected Christian world. But should true followers of Yeshua, the Messiah, participate in ancient pagan customs? Should true Christians celebrate Christmas? I have 4 pages of notes here, and on my computer I have about 50 pages. And that's just a tip of the iceberg of what's out there. So only you and the Lord and the Holy Spirit can answer that question. We're not going to tell you what to believe or what to do. So, Father, we come in the name of Yeshua, the one true God, the Son, S-O-N, God, the Son of God. And we come asking you for truth, to reveal the truth to us. You said that if we know the truth can set us free. And God, I remember that day on that ladder when you spoke to me and basically told me that I can't dress up a pagan holiday and make it look good and smell good and feel good and call it holy. The church is asleep in so many ways, God. So many ways we've been lulled to sleep. Religion's just been dressed up and lit up and made to look so good without us even knowing what's really behind the curtain sometimes. I wish it wasn't true, God. I really do. I wish it wasn't true. I loved celebrating with my family, and I just loved it, God, but I hate it now because of the mockery of the true Son. You didn't tell us when your son was born. Nowhere in the Bible have you told us to celebrate his birth. You've told us to celebrate his death. Every time we drink that cup and eat that bread, we're celebrating his death and his new birth. I want to celebrate in spirit and in truth. Convict us, Lord. Holy Spirit, convict us where we need to be convicted. And clean us up. Get compromise out of us. Let us be those people that, Yeshua, you said that your Father was seeking worshipers. You're not seeking worship, you're seeking worshipers who will worship you in spirit and in truth, not according to the customs of the nations, not according to what's been handed down to us, and we blindly accepted it. But you're seeking a people who will worship you in spirit and in truth, in holiness. You said, be thou holy, even as I am holy. God, we ask you to shine your light in us and expose any deception. I wouldn't plan on doing this, but I really believe the Lord is instructing me to, so I'm going to do it. So if you've been convicted, you're already convicted, and God's already been speaking to your heart, and you know there's some areas you've participated in concerning Christmas, and you're saying you don't want to do that anymore. I'm going to ask you to take a stand for righteousness and stand up. And I'm going to pray, because we got to repent. If you've participated worshiping, even if it was in ignorance, and you're convicted. If you're not convicted, no worries. You know, but if you are, let's get it clean. Any participation that you've had with in any way, this evil. You know, God has been very clear to us ever since the whole green caterpillar, and then the little caterpillars and the aphids and the white flies and the, you know, how he's been talking, the parasites. And he just revealed a couple of weeks ago another layer of cleansing, not just internally, but cleansing the air around us. And the mold and the fungus and the pollution. And that's what I was just seeing, is how this observing that holiday creates a scenery, situation around us that's fungus and mold and causes all kinds of problems around us as well as inside of us. And God is wanting to deal with it. And the interesting thing to me is this machine that God's made us aware of. It's called an O3. Water is H2O, right? This is O3. It has three molecules of oxygen. And when it devours fungus and mold just in contact, and insects. And I just, yesterday the Lord said to me, O3, the Trinity, the breath of God, because this thing is just breath, is what it is. The breath of God coming will devour all the things around us. And if you put it in your water and drink it, it does it internally as well. Beloved, that's what we need. We've got to have the breath of God come. If we're going to walk out in freedom, if you're going to walk out of this room tonight different, you must have the breath of God. internally and around us. God is an indwelling God, and he's also as close as the air all around us. And so, Lord, we're asking you right now, everybody's standing, everybody that's agreeing with this prayer that is saying, God, I've sinned. I've participated in a pagan holiday ignorantly. I didn't know it. It wasn't intentional, God. I had no idea what I was doing, but I did it anyway. God, I call that sin before your throne right now. It is absolutely unholy. There's nothing holy about it. And that it would be targeted at Jews is even another sign of Satan's attachment to that holiday. And God, as those of us who are acknowledging before you our participation, we're asking you right now for the blood of Yeshua to cover us. God, we're asking you to forgive us for all participation in that holiday called Christmas. It's a mockery of Christ, even the name of it. And we're asking for your precious blood to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to redeem us, and to restore us to a holy and righteous relationship with you, God. We don't want anything to do with pagan worship of other gods. And we receive your blood right now. We receive your blood on our spirit, our minds, our will, our emotions, our physical bodies, and our airspace. God, would you breathe the Trinity, your breath, O3, right here, right now, everyone in this room that is desiring the life of God, would you just breathe in this room? Breathe into our lungs, breathe into our minds, breathe into our hearts, breathe into our airspace. Breathe, O breath of God. All the fungus and the mold and the parasites and the aphids and spiritual demonic beings that have been empowered legally by our sin, we serve you notice right now in the name of Yeshua. That you have to bow now because you're trespassing, because we've been forgiven by the blood of Yeshua. And you have to bow to the name of Yeshua. And we serve you notice that you have to leave us. You have to leave our spirit. You have to leave our mind, our will, our emotions. You have to leave our physical bodies. And you have to leave this room. And you definitely have to leave this farm. In the name of Yeshua, you may not remain. Go right now in Yeshua's name. And now, Father, Holy Spirit, Yeshua, breathe on us. Breathe, O breath of God. Breathe on us. Like you did with Adam when he was just a clay shell of a man. And the very breath of God came into his mouth. And he became a living being. God, breathe on us.